Well, good morning. If you would turn your Bible to Galatians, we're going to be reading two verses out of chapter 5 and one verse out of chapter 6. Our text is Galatians 5, 25 through 6, 1. Let's read. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So this morning we're going to talk about how to treat a brother who has fallen into sin, a brother or a sister who has fallen into sin. These three preachers got together and they decided that they were going to confess their sins to one another, as the Bible says we should, and just help each other get beyond those sins. And so the one preacher, he said, well, I'll go first. He says, I have to admit that I struggle with drinking. I keep a bottle on my desk, and when I get stressed out, I take a little swig, and it kind of calms my nerves. I know it's not right, but that's my struggle. And then another preacher said, well, I struggle with pornography. He said, I know it's wrong. I know it's against God, but it's been a struggle of mine, and I just want to overcome this thing, and I need help. And so those two guys looked at the third guy and said, well, what's your sin? And the third one said, my sin is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here, right? That's always a potential, right? Well, in our study, we've talked about legalism. And let me clarify what legalism is. A person is not legalistic because they keep the commands of God. You should want to keep the commands of God. You should want to obey God if you're a Christian. Legalism is the belief that your law keeping is redemptive. And it's not. And that's the sin. And this is what people need to realize. Our law keeping is not redemptive. Redemption took place at the cross when Jesus gave his life. Now, if you have a legalistic orientation, your walk in Christ is going to be different than a person who has a grace orientation. And nowhere is that clearer than the way that a person who has a legalistic orientation treats a brother or a sister who has fallen into sin. And so the thing about legalism is it causes us to be judgmental. That's one of the things. It causes people to look down at people. It causes us to be very, very judgmental. We judge people. We judge their behavior. We judge what they do. The Pharisees, you know, they were hypocritical and hypercritical. That's what they were, hypercritical. And you'll see that with folks who struggle, who have more of a legalistic orientation, you tend to be very hard on people. And so nothing, I think, reveals the horror of legalism more so than when we see a brother or sister fall into sin and we see how one who is very legalistic treats them. You can begin to see just how wicked legalism is. It's a terrible thing. And here's the thing. You see, if you have a grace orientation, you're going to tend toward competition. You're going to tend toward condescension. And after all, you believe that you get right with God by keeping the commandments. That's what people believe. You get right with God by keeping the commandments of God. That's how we get right. And so if someone is not doing that, then you tend to judge them because they're not doing it the way that you do it. Now, an example of this, just hold your finger here in Galatians and look in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. First of all, verse 9. Luke 18, 9. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's the legalist. That's the legalist. Notice the parable Jesus gives. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Notice verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, and smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. So, who in that parable represents you? Where do you stand in that parable? Which side are you on? You see, legalism produces a spiritual pride that actually takes delight, believe it or not, in the fall of a brother or a sister in Christ, because it tends to make other people look better, right? And so if you know someone who really has a good walk with God and they stumble into sin, all of a sudden it just puffs you up and you can begin to feel better than them. And that's a real tendency. That's something that we struggle with. You see, grace, it leads to graciousness and the way that you treat people. You can tell a grace Christian versus a legalistic Christian in the way that they treat other people. Paul says that folks in the church are going to stumble. At some point, we all do. And so, how do you treat those who stumble? That's the issue, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. You see, the goal of a person with a grace orientation is restoration. It's not condemnation, but how can I restore my brother? How can I restore my sister who have fallen into sin? And so, do I have a legalistic heart, or do I have a gracious heart? That's a critical question. You see, the way the legalistic Christian and a spiritual Christian handle a brother caught in sin can be contrasted in three ways. And so, looking at your outline this morning, the first thing I want us to look at is the aim. The aim. What is the aim? And so Paul makes it abundantly clear in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, the Christian living by grace, he seeks to restore, while the legalist tends to exploit his brother. You see, the legalist condemns and puts down his brother in order to make himself look good. Listen, the aim is always restoration. It's not condemnation. It's not to kick a brother while he's down. It's always to restore. That's what God wants. And the word restore is the idea of mending a net and making that net useful again. Or it's the idea of setting a bone that's broken so that it becomes useful again. That's the aim. That's what Paul said our goal should be. It is to restore a brother or sister who is caught up in sin. That's the aim. It's restoration. It is not condemnation. You see, it's painful enough to be trapped by sin, and we don't need a brother or a sister to come along and make matters worse, right? It's a terrible thing to be caught in sin and can't seem to find your way out, and then to have another brother or sister come up and just kick you while you're down. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help. And people who have a grace orientation, you're going to see a difference in the way that they treat someone who stumbles versus someone who's very legalistic, and we got to toe the line and we have to do it like this, and there's just not a lot of room for grace in that kind of a mindset. And so we need to help our brothers and sisters in Christ when they stumble. We need to show the same grace to them that God has shown to us, right? Because we're all needy. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in need of God's grace. And those who have received God's grace are supposed to bestow God's grace on other people. Treat others the way God has treated you. That's the way it's supposed to be. We should have a grace orientation. And there's a difference. And I've seen it in the brotherhood. I've seen both sides of this. And I'm sure you've seen both sides of this as well. Where someone, you know, restores a brother. Very harsh, very judgmental about their sin and what they're doing. And actually what they do is they just make the situation worse. You just drive people away. With that kind of an attitude. Our whole goal is to bring them to repentance and help them to be right with God. That's the aim. But what's the approach? Well, the approach is gentleness. You see, the Christian living by grace restores gently, while the legalist tends to be harsh, insensitive, and judgmental. You see, the spiritual person performs gentle restoration, looking carefully at himself, because he knows that he also could very easily be the one who has fallen into sin. A person with a grace orientation understands that. He knows that as he restores, he realizes, wow, but for the grace of God, he could be in his brother or sister's shoes. That's just the way that it is. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, or chapter 10, rather, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Wherefore, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And so we need to understand that none of us are so rock solid in our faith that we cannot fall. In fact, that's the very thing Paul says, don't do that. Don't act like you can't fall. Don't have that mindset, because you can. And you're liable to be the next victim because you have that mindset. I've seen that numerous times in the church throughout my years. Paul says that to restore one in the spirit of gentleness. You see, fallen Christians don't need to be slapped around. They don't need to be humiliated. They're already miserable. They already realize that, wow, they have sinned, that they're in rebellion against God. They already know that, and so it doesn't do any good just to heap more condemnation on your brother or your sister. And notice that Paul doesn't say here that elders or deacons or preachers are to handle these cases. Not what he says. In fact, there are no vocational, sexual, or racial criteria for helping a brother or a sister get back on the right road. There's one qualification, and the qualification is spirituality. That's the qualification. And that's why he says in verse 1 of chapter 6, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Well, who is the spiritual person? He is the person of Galatians 5:22 and 23. The person who walks by the Spirit. The person who has the fruit of the Spirit just abundant in their life. He says in verse 22 and 3, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the person. This is the person we're looking for to restore some person. So he gives us an example of what it is to live in the flesh and what it is to live in the Spirit. The flesh, he pointed out in chapter 5, verses 19, 20, and 21. So you have this contrast between one who's walking in the flesh and one who's walking in the Spirit. And what we need is spiritual men, spiritual women to go to such people and gently restore them. That's what God wants. Not to simply rebuke somebody or put them in their place, but to restore. And the requirement, you've got to be gentle. And so the restorer must be one who displays the fruit of the Spirit in his or her life. Now, obviously, an elder would display that kind of fruit in his life. A deacon should display that kind of fruit in their life. But Paul says, I'm not talking about elders or deacons. I'm talking about church members who are walking by the Spirit. They are the ones who need to restore a brother or a sister in Christ. And then lastly, the attitude. The attitude. The attitude is humility and love. The Spirit-led Christian approaches a situation in the spirit of humility, while the legalist approaches it with an attitude of condemnation. So you're coming at it from two separate points of view. One, humility and love. The other, condemnation. The spiritual Christian knows that if it were not but by the grace of God, he or she could find themselves in the same place that their brother or sister find themselves in at this point in time. So it's really important that we realize that none of us in here are above falling, right? None of us are above falling. We can all fall. We can all find ourselves in a moment and do something that is totally in rebellion to God. And so we need to be very, very humble about this. And so the spiritual Christian understands that but for the grace of God, I could be in the situation that I find my brother or my sister in. He knows that he can be tempted in the same way that his brother or his sister can be tempted. So it's really important that we understand this and know this when we seek to restore somebody. Yes, we want to restore them, but we need to be very, very careful that we don't fall into the same exact sin. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen several times. And I know some of you have seen this as well. So it's really important. So Paul says the aim should always be to restore. The approach should always be gentleness. And the attitude should be humility and love. And this is what is necessary to restore a brother or a sister who has fallen into sin. And so I don't know how you treat people, but there's two ways, right? So you can have a grace orientation or a legalistic orientation. And I'm telling you, the grace orientation is what Paul is promoting here. It's what is necessary to restore a brother or sister. A legalistic brother or sister is not the best person to go and try to restore a brother or sister, but rather a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. And so I don't know where you are today. Maybe you've fallen into sin. Maybe you're in need of restoration in your life today because we all sin. We all can, I mean, you can have a wonderful walk with God today and tomorrow it'd totally be messed up just because of a bad choice that you make. That can happen to any one of us. Paul warns us that it can happen to any one of us, and we need to take heed lest it happens to any one of us. But maybe that's the case for somebody in here today. There's no better place to come and confess your sin and to be restored than right here with your brothers and sisters in Christ, because we love you and we want what's best for you. But if you're not a Christian and you don't know God, you don't have a relationship with God, it's really important you understand the Bible says we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And because we've sinned and we've all fallen short, we're under God's wrath. And so God's wrath is over us, and we're facing his wrath and his fury unless we turn from our sins, unless we seek forgiveness of our sins through his son, Jesus Christ. Because the beauty of the gospel is that God so loved humanity who had fallen into sin and severed himself from God. He loved man so much that he sent his son into the world. And his son died on the cross, paid the debt of our sin so that the condemnation that we're under as a result of our sin can be lifted from our life. But that's only through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You need to know God loves you. His son died on the cross so that you could be forgiven. If you've never experienced that forgiveness in your life, we're going to encourage you to come this morning and let us share with you the love of God. Whatever your need is, make it known as we sing.